Talk Radio, WBOB.
Sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. And we're going to start off today with some great news. Michelle Wolf. Does anybody remember who Michelle Wolf is? So Michelle Wolf is the comedian, and I use that term very loosely, who was invited to the past White House Correspondents' Dinner, this last one that they had. She was a host of it, and she made headlines for saying mean things about Donald Trump and the rest of the White House staff. I don't know why that would get you any kind of headlines. I mean, that's just the run-of-the-mill go-to thing that any comedian does nowadays. Any talk show host will easily just pad their repertoire with Trump jokes, just a real easy, lazy thing to do. I mean, I knew when Trump was elected president that it would be like boom times for comedians. But, I mean, come on, guys. You got to come up with some material that's actually funny. So if you don't remember Michelle Wolf, here she is talking with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like right next to her. This is one of her jokes. A quick warning, you might want to cover your ears because this lady's voice makes Hillary Clinton's voice sound like a siren song. Here's Michelle Wolf.
And I'm never really sure what to call Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know, is it Sarah Sanders? Is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Is it Cousin Huckabee? Is it Auntie Huckabee Sanders? Like, what's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women? Oh, I know, Aunt Coulter.
So really, top shelf stuff from this comedian. Let's play the first joke from her Netflix show that I found here on YouTube. So they're putting like whole episodes on YouTube, which is never a good sign. But let's see what let's see how her opening joke goes, and it gives you kind of a feel for her series here.
Talk about last week's Wimbledon final where Serena Williams lost to Angelique Kerber, and Serena losing to Angelique Kerber is the most impressive thing an athlete has ever done. Serena had a baby 10 months ago. That's just one more month than it took to grow the baby. 10 months! And she still managed to come in second in the most elite tournament in her sport. Which, yeah, that means she's the LeBron James of tennis. If LeBron James carried a baby for 9 months, had an emergency C-section, suffered blood clots, a pulmonary embolism, a hematoma, and burst C-section wound, postpartum depression, and then clawed his way to the NBA Finals all by himself and showed up with a flawless white manicure.
Yeah, there you go. So in comedy, I think that's called a knee slapper. This lady is the cream of the crop. There's a saying that women can't be funny, but I think Michelle Wolf getting canceled after 3 weeks is pretty hilarious. You know, the line I just said about the Trump administration being such easy pickings for comedians kind of reminds me of this comedian Trevor Noah, who has a Daily Show. He took it over from Jon Stewart a while back. And in the beginning, it was terrible, but I think he's gotten a lot better. But he's actually mocking Peter Strzok for setting up a GoFundMe page. What Peter Strzok did was he was very biased and had that terrible, terrible congressional hearing where he basically said that he wasn't biased and then went on several tirades against President Trump, proving that he is, in fact, extremely biased. Well, this guy set up a GoFundMe page. At least we think it's him. It's been put up by a group called Friends of Peter Strzok, which, I mean, they're supposed to be giving the money to Peter Strzok for his legal fund. I think it would be hilarious if his friends actually kept the money. But here's what they did. So they set up a page on GoFundMe for his legal defense. They say, we need $150,000, $140,000, something like that. And then when the goal is met, they raised it. And then they raised it again. The goal is now at $500,000. And I have to say, he was doing very well. He was raising the money extremely quickly. And then Trevor Noah comes out with this thing, kind of blasting him. He's still raising money pretty fast. So I'm on the page right now. The name of the page is Support for FBI Veteran Pete Strzok. And it's, where is this thing? The name of the page is, here we go. A fundraiser by friends of Special Agent Peter Strzok. GoFundMe.com. And here's the last couple of donations. So 7 minutes ago, we got $50 from Anonymous, $5 from Snigs Nisk, $10 Anonymous, $15 Christopher West, $10, $10, $25 47 minutes ago, $15 59 minutes ago. So people are contributing to this page still. They've raised $435,000, $435,790, actually, of their $500,000 goal. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you watch the man's testimony, the fact that he's a weasel is, in my opinion, obvious. I mean, I don't think it's really something that you can dispute. Just look at the guy, right? And I'm not somebody who normally says stuff like that. One commenter on YouTube said the perfect thing, said that he looks like the bad guy in a video game, right? It looks like a villain in a video game. And he's exactly right. I mean, you know, his face doesn't look quite, in my opinion, again, his face doesn't look quite human. It looks distorted by hatred. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. Now, you know, I don't like the dude as far as what he's done. So maybe I'm biased looking at it. So maybe you ought to put me on whatever jury tries to get him for perjury or whatever they're trying him for. So I called it a legal defense fund. What it actually says here, all funds raised on this GoFundMe will be put into a trust dedicated to covering Pete's hefty and growing legal costs and his lost income. Well, I mean, when you say you're covering the man's lost income, then the sky's the limit, isn't it? You could just justify any amount that you raise because you don't know how long the man's going to be out of work. I mean, he's permanently fired, right? So, I mean, I guess he could just fund himself forever, right? Can he have a yearly GoFundMe for a lost salary? According to this GoFundMe page, Slate Magazine called him the hero we need and saying that he stood up to a corrupt president. He made the decision that President Trump was corrupt before he even did any kind of investigation. I mean, if you look at the testimony, that's pretty obvious. The man was a Hillary Clinton supporter and he just didn't like Trump. But, you know, the thing is that I wouldn't have even seen this, really, if it wasn't for Trevor Noah. Isn't that funny that Trevor Noah, who's a huge lib and thinks that Trump is just an absolute monster, actually called out Peter Strzok for what he's doing? So that's very interesting. Now, I mean, they didn't say Strzok was a bad guy or anything like that. They were just making fun of the fact that he raised his goal. That he had a goal and then he raised it and then raised it again. So, and then they made fun of Jill Stein of the Green Party, who had done the same thing, and rightfully so, I think. Another interesting thing is that Trevor Noah was saying how the late night shows or the talk shows are all making fun of Donald Trump, and he also alluded to the fact that it's kind of lazy that they do that very funnily. They put themselves on the board of talk shows that basically do that. So who knows? Maybe humor is going to start creeping back into these shows at some point. And it's funny, even Jimmy Fallon is on board with dumping on Trump. And when I watch him do that, I don't know Jimmy Fallon. I'm not inside of his head. I don't even like Jimmy Fallon, actually. I mean, he kept laughing at his own skits on Saturday Night Live like he was on the Carol Burnett Show, and it just kind of annoyed me. They lampooned that on Family Guy, too, by the way. But I had thought that when I'd seen that. I was like, come on, man. Hold it in a little bit better, right? It's not that funny. But watching Jimmy Fallon tell Trump jokes, he just looks kind of guilty and ashamed of himself. Again, that's just my, when I'm watching him, that's just my kind of impression. And I'm saying that as somebody who would assume that Jimmy Fallon does not like Donald Trump. So it's kind of funny to see that. Although, if you recall, I reported on the show a couple of weeks back, Jimmy Fallon had a Twitter account. Well, he still has a Twitter account, but he announced a guest or a show that he was having, and then he posed as himself. He responded to himself and said, "That looks really good," and was acting as if he was somebody else. And he deleted that, but it's kind of funny that he forgot to log out of his account, log back in, and posted to his own tweet, therefore making it obvious that he was that he has some fake accounts and tweets nice things to himself. Very, very funny to have gotten caught doing that. And I don't remember the specific incident exactly how it happened, but I remember believing that that was not a joke. It was that he really got caught doing that. So very, very funny. And several news outlets posted that too. They got caught doing that. So hilarious stuff. And to me, very encouraging, because if he's got a reply to himself, and if, you know, Michelle Wolf's show gets canceled after just a couple of weeks, it makes me feel that maybe they don't really have that much support. Because, you know, when you're watching the news and you're watching all these famous actors and, you know, these people who you admire, and, you know, all the news shows, the news cycle, just anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump over and over and over again, it makes you feel like the whole world hates the guy. But, you know, that might not really be the case. And it is amazing to me that Trump got elected at all, not just because it's Donald flipping Trump, but because of the propaganda that was put out there. I mean, the Avengers that got on YouTube and told you that Donald Trump was a bad guy, right? And they said this was a crisis. So the fact that the American people will kind of resisted all that and voted for him anyway, to me, is incredible and very encouraging. All right, so YouTube, Spotify, who else did Amazon do it? Google, basically. And a bunch of other places, Apple, the Apple Store, Facebook. All these places have banned Alex Jones. And I know Twitter put him on suspension. But Twitter was the only place that hadn't banned him at the same time. So all these other outlets banned him all at once. And I know this sounds like an Alex Jones conspiracy theory in itself. This happened last week. But, I mean, for all of that to happen at one time, I feel like they were all incentivized to do it. So either they all got together and had a meeting and said, let's ban Alex Jones, which sounds kind of unlikely. Or maybe some agency said, we're going to give you a bunch of money to ban this guy. Now, again, I realize that sounds, you know, kind of odd, but look, guys, they did this all at once. Can we think for a second and realize that that's very, very strange? All of these companies at the same time ban this guy. Alex Jones is like this person who's known for being a conspiracy theorist. A lot of people call him alt-right conspiracy theorist. And he's kind of like the National Enquirer to me, right? I mean, he's got some way out stuff on there, but he's also got some stuff that's actual news and breaking news. So if you're going to ban Alex Jones, and the reason for banning him was for his violating their terms of service. But a lot of their reasons were very vague. I mean, I need to know the specific reason why it was let go from these places, right? Anyway, so I've never really been an Alex Jones dude here. I don't watch his videos regularly. I think the guy is a little enthusiastic. He's a little enthusiastic for me. But, you know, since he's been banned on YouTube, that makes me think, well, since all these places ban him at once, the guy's a conspiracy theorist. Maybe he hit on something that nobody wants seen. And so they all got rid of him, right? So I went to his website, and he's got some great stuff for sale on here. Look at these. He's got pills, man. He's got, let's see, made in 1776, made in the USA. He's got shirts and backpacks and personal protective gear and flags. So he basically has everything that we manufacture here in the U.S. Up on his website already. There's no electronic stuff, probably because there's nothing that we make that's electronic anymore. And he's got comic books on here. So he has Alt Hero Comics, number one, Crackdown. And then apparently that did okay because they came out with number two, Rebel Cell. They just need to come out with one more to tie Michelle Wolf's run here. And actually, if these comics come out monthly like regular comics do, he's already beaten it. What I like is that the alt hero is this redhead with a big guy. What can I say on the radio? It's a lady with a gazongas. Yeah, a huge gazongas there. She's the alt hero. So, I mean, I guess that tells you the market that he is catering to. But, you know, more power to him, right? He's a capitalist. So I've got another news source, I suppose, here in Alex Jones. Let's see what he's got with, let's see what news he has here. He's trapped me in a store. I guess that's good marketing. Can I get to the main part of the website? Oh, he's being accused. This is what got me looking for him in the first place. So there's a story here in the Huffington Post. Alex Jones destroyed evidence in Sandy Hook. And they're bringing defamation, in the defamation case. So now they're accusing him of destroying evidence. When it rains, it pours. So they're trying to systematically eliminate Alex Jones for some reason. Oh, here's some news on Alex Jones' site. This is a news story about himself, which is fine. You know, I mean, he's in the news right now. Trump tears into big tech over censoring InfoWars. Let everybody participate. Censorship is a very dangerous thing, he says. This just came out today. President Trump ripped into big tech over censoring InfoWars and other conservatives and libertarian voices, warning that his administration, quote, won't let that happen. Can he stop it? I mean, would that be a legal thing to do? These are private companies, but anyway, we're in a logical conundrum now. Donald J. Trump, social media is totally discriminating against Republican/conservative voices, speaking loudly and clearly for the Trump administration. We won't let that happen. They're closing down the opinions of many people on the right while at the same time doing nothing to others. Censorship is a very dangerous thing and absolutely impossible to police. If you are weeding out fake news, there's nothing so fake as CNN and MSNBC. Well, he has a point there, doesn't he? And yet, I do not ask that their sick behavior be removed. That's true. I get used to it and watch it and watch with a grain of salt or don't watch at all. Wow, what a mature, I mean, relatively, I guess. I don't know if mature is the right word, but what a deep thought from the president, right? He comes on here and he says, well, he sees fake news all the time, but he doesn't do anything to try to get it removed, right? I mean, and he's a president, and they passed that act under Obama, didn't they? That press act to get rid of fake news in the press. So he probably has he probably lean on Congress, or maybe he's got some powers directly as a result of that act, I wonder. Now, he continues, too many voices are being destroyed, some good and some bad, and that cannot be allowed to happen. Who is making the choices? Because I can already tell you that too many mistakes are being made. Let everybody participate, good and bad, and we will all just have to figure it out. Again, I mean, that is some, I agree with that. Trump dropping truth bombs here. All of the fools that are so focused on looking only at Russia should start also looking in another direction, China. But in the end, if we are smart, tough, and well-prepared, we will get along with everyone. Well, that tweet's kind of a mixed bag, huh? So he's saying, get off of Russia and let's make enemies with China. And there's a funny cartoon on the article. It says, they're upset you called Amorosa a dog. And the picture is Trump is being told this by a member of his staff who's looking out the window, and there's a bunch of dogs outside. And the dogs are upset that he called Amorosa a dog. That's pretty funny. I didn't realize Alex Jones was so well-rounded in his reporting here. So, Trump has come under, like, he's never not under, you know, attack. But this is Mark Murray, senior political editor for NBC News, as well as a diehard Texas Longhorn fan. So this is Mark Murray, senior political editor for NBC News. And this is what the senior political editor of NBC News tweets out. In just the last 2 weeks, the president of the United States has called again Representative Maxine Waters, very low IQ, said LeBron James is dumb, called Amorosa that dog. When you give a, and he is, where's the part over here? He implied that this is racist. Where is this? Did he change the tweet? You can't edit the tweet without it saying it, can it? Anyway, the argument that members of the press have been making is that Trump is racist for saying these things about Maxine Waters and LeBron James and Amorosa. I mean, of all the thousands of things that Trump has said about all people, Trump is a equal opportunity badmouther. Don't you feel that way? I mean, I can't. Is there any race, creed, or color that Donald Trump has not insulted, including plenty of white people? So why are they pointing this out as if trying to prove that Donald Trump is a racist? This is ridiculous. Although that does remind me of another story here. So I told you last week that it's almost impossible to find things on YouTube now, right? You look for a story and all the mainstream news outlets come up, CBS, NBC. So YouTube is pushing them now over normal, regular people who are posting things and usually very good information, you know, that they heard or saw. Now you're just getting the party line, right? Well, the story has come out that this Asian guy punched a black lady, and they show the part where, you know, he punches her, but doesn't show what came before, right? They say that the black lady's little girl accidentally stole a keychain. So I tried to find it, couldn't find it. But I found another video of another black lady getting punched by another Asian guy. And, you know, they said it was terrible that he attacked her. But it turns out that she went around a store stealing and then attacked him first. So if you look at the video that the mainstream media has been putting out, it looks like he attacked her for no reason. But when you see the whole thing, you see that it's, I don't know if in your mind that would be justified, but that at least he had a reason for doing it. He didn't just go bananas and attack a black lady for nothing. But if you watch the news, you think that's happening all the time. Now, I'm not making any commentary about race here. I'm just saying it's disgusting how the media manipulates our thought that way.